Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Yours Mine Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. I'm actually delighted to welcome in today's guest. I've got a world record holder, unbelievable feat. He's currently at Wolves and Wales. Tom King, welcome, mate.
Mate, you know, like when it comes off your foot and you're thinking, oh, like I've really, really wellied that one. The local press and they said that, like, oh, we think that that might be a world record. And obviously the next day got the text that we're going down there to and did a full measurement to the pitch. It wasn't even anything to negotiate, mate. It was like, listen, just get me in the building and I'll show everybody what I can do. You have a lot of people saying, like, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. You can turn this around. Like, yeah. It's not the end. And so as you went, like, along the lines of, it could be the end. So many lads that were in for that space. Right. And, like, and you stuck your neck out on the line for me and you went to battle for me. Like, short sleeves and shorts. I'm not joking. It was probably the best session I've ever had. Because I was just like, I felt like a kid. Yeah, all the grass was wet and there were puddles and I was muddy and scratches and I just felt proper free.
What a save from Mark Howard.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Yours Mine Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. I'm actually delighted to welcome in today's guest. I've got a world record holder. Unbelievable feat. He's currently at Wolves and Wales. Tom King, welcome, mate.
Nice to be here, mate. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Obviously, we've quite well connected anyway through Selsey. I'm sure we'll get onto that. I need to talk about the world record goal.
Yeah.
Obviously, playing for Newport, punted it 96 metres.
Yeah, well, he did, mate. Yeah, the old see him off his line number. Do you know what I mean? But no, it was honestly like, it's something that we worked on that we were going to try and like look to play short and then pretend and then kick it long. And mate, you know, like when it comes off your foot and you're thinking, oh, like I've really, really wellied that one. And it was a windy night as well. And I thought, got lucky with the bounce. It just skidded right off on that wind. And I was like, because it's downhill a little bit, Cheltenham as well, isn't it? And it's proper gone off. And I was like, oh, couldn't believe it. Like,
but there was no one there.
I know. And that's like, people say to me all the time, like, why didn't you celebrate? And I'm like, was I going to run the full length of the pitch to celebrate with no one in the stand? There, like, it would have been good, like having the, like, obviously the home fans on a bit of a nibble up as well. But mate, honestly, but the thing that proper crossed my mind was if it was like an indirect. Obviously, I didn't know if goal kicks were an indirect.
Yep. Which goal kicks are indirect, aren't they?
Well, you'd have thought so, wouldn't you? But obviously, you can't score from an indirect.
No, you can't, no.
Yeah, so that's what, obviously, in my head, I was thinking, that's probably an indirect. But he like, looked at the referee, and then by that time,
goal,
he just blew the whistle, pointed at the centre circle, and they were kicking off. So I was a bit like, I didn't want to run all the way to the corner.
I can't believe you've been working on your finishing all week as well, man.
Yeah, just a lot of leg weights, mate.
Yeah. When did you find out it was a world record?
So after the game, when I was doing the interview with the local press, and he said that, like, oh, we think that that might be a world record. And obviously the next day got the text that they were going down there to go and do the full measurements of the pitch. And I was like, oh, and that's when it all started to feel real. Obviously, I'd done a bit of radio on that the night after, just after the game. And then when I got the text from them saying they were going to measure it, I thought, oh, they must think this is close. Like, but I would have thought, obviously, Asmir's would have been longer because Stoke's pitch is huge.
Big old pitch.
Yeah. And I would have thought Cheltenham's would have been longer, but obviously, I must have been a few metres back. But
Asmir's was a back pass as
well. Back pass as well,
it's
like
first time you get a bit more power. Yours is an actual dead ball, isn't it?
Oh, mate, dead ball. That's why I couldn't believe it so much. I just thought, like, I knew I kicked it well, but never in a million years could have pictured that, mate.
See, you probably haven't been asked, right? But in the warm-up, could you tell that the ball was going to travel?
Little bits.
Because you know, like, when you warm up on a windy day, you're like, yeah, I hope the wind changes direction second half. Can you, like, try and take the wind?
Mate, so my old thing would have been, like, to go against the wind first half.
Everyone says that.
Yeah.
I've changed the way I am.
Get the hardest bit out of the way. Like, and I used to think of it in terms of, like, if I'm playing the second half, my legs are a little bit more tired and I'm going to have to kick into the wind when my legs are a little bit more tired. So I'd rather it the other way.
See, I've changed. I've started thinking how quickly the wind changes now or dies off.
Yeah.
That you may as well just ride it for the first half.
Maybe you're right.
And then second half, it's not going to get any worse.
Yeah. It's a little bit different now. I'm in the bigger stadium.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, no, mate, honestly, that's honestly how I used to think. It was windy and we took that in first half and I was like, like, same as you, like, I hope this changes. And then obviously done that. It's the only shot we had on target all game as well.
No way. Man,
they battered us. That was the best League Two team I come up against, mate. That Cheltenham team with Michael Duff as the manager.
Yeah, yeah.
They were incredible, mate. Incredible.
They go on and get promoted that year. They did.
Yeah, won it by a mile, mate. They won it by a mile, yeah. They were really good.
That's class.
Good, right?
Congrats as well on the new deal at Wolves.
Thank you very much.
Obviously, we'll get into this now, right? But we're quite well connected, obviously, through Selzy. Yep. Selzy's looked after you your whole life, really.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And, like, obviously, I've worn his gloves for pretty much my whole career and that. And we've had the same struggles sometimes of being out of contract and that. So it's really good to see you doing really well. And obviously, at a club like Wolves, an unbelievable opportunity that you were never going to turn down.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, mate, there was no other choice. Obviously, got the call from Tony Roberts in the summer. I was thinking, like, God, what does he want now? Do you know what I mean? He used to ring me in some random occasions and obviously answered and he said, like, he mentioned what the role was, what it would entail, like the people doing the role now previously. And we just had a bit of a chat and he was like, do you want to do it? And I was like, well, I've not even got to think about this. And obviously rang Selzy and I said, listen, like, he's mentioned this, blah, blah, blah. Let's see what we can do. 3 weeks later, mate, I was on the way to Wolverhampton in the car.
Yeah.
There wasn't even anything to negotiate, mate. It was like, listen, just get me in the building and I'll show everybody what I can do to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, the best compliment I can pay to myself is within 3 months, they've offered me a deal to extend it. And I've obviously shown the right people what I can do. And the thing is you'll probably be able to agree with this as well, is like, I've always known what I can do. It's just about, like, the luck and the opportunity. When the luck and opportunity arises, like, to be successful in this game, you have to be lucky.
And
I've been extremely lucky that someone of Tony Roberts' caliber even just has a job like Wolverhampton, for example. Like, he got that job through an old assistant manager who ended up getting a job, Bruno Lage.
And,
like, he got that job luckily, and then he bring me in luckily, and it's like, I just wanted to do the best for him to show that his opinion mattered to everybody at the club, and I think everybody at the club went, oh, right, like, we can see why you've brought him here, like, top character, top guy, and it was just one of those things that I've always known I could do that at that level. It was just about having that opportunity.
Someone to give you the opportunity,
for sure. And these opportunities don't come, and I feel like I've really, really, like, maximised every last inch of my opportunity, do you know what I mean? Which is obviously why they sort of fit.
That's full credit to you, exactly. And that they wouldn't have offered you a new deal if you weren't doing everything right.
I think so.
You briefly touched on it then, about your role changing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the best way of putting it, that you just have to understand how your role is changing?
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, we've all done that. We've all gone to clubs thinking, I'm going to be the number one, I'm going to play every game. And then the first game of the season, you start on the bench and you're like, this isn't what I signed up for. But, like, if you know in advance, look, this is the role that you're going to partake in, your Saturdays are going to change. You don't have to gear up to play, but we need you to help everyone else gear up to play.
Yeah.
But it's understanding that from the start.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, ideally, I'd have loved to have gone to a Premier League team and played. Like, that's fantasy land. Do you know what I mean? Which is, from the body of work I'd produced so far in my career, to go to the Premier League and play was a fantasy. So I had to look for another way in.
Yeah.
So I knew that if I could get in the building and showcase my talent, like, the way that I've dressed it up in my head is I will eventually get a chance to do something. What that might be, I've got no idea, whether it be the Carabao Cup game or anything. I had to convince myself in my head I'll eventually get a chance to do something. And then it's what I do with that opportunity that will entail what the rest of my career looks
100%,
like.
That's brilliant.
And that's where, like, obviously I've spoken on several occasions about, like, to use Steely as an example, obviously went in at Brighton, like, didn't have the best of luck at Sunderland, I don't think, with the managerial changes and stuff. Went into Brighton and now he wears the number one shirt. Like, what an example that is for someone like me. Like, and I know that is a one in a million opportunity, but why but can't that be me as well?
Those opportunities do come. You look at Remy Matthews at Crystal Palace, another thing.
Premier League debut this season.
Exactly. Yeah. So like 2-3 years ago, he wouldn't have even guessed that he would have had a Premier League debut by then. No, not at all. So like, and like Remy's gone on like now to fully establish himself as like one of the three with Crystal Palace, and he's obviously made his debut in the Premier League. You've got to have someone backing you to do that and that luck.
And obviously Dean obviously believed in him like Tony believed Tony in me. It took me 5 minutes to really establish like, oh wow, the pace of the game's really picked up here. But I feel like even from the moment I walked through the door, they understood that, like, even with the foreign characters, and like it's a whole new dressing room for me, like where English is the least speaking language and stuff like that. Like, just tried to adapt. I've tried to be like think on my feet. I've tried to be like adaptable to different scenarios, like understand that the level is very different and the way that lads apply themselves every day is very different. And I have to understand that they're getting ready for games. Like my high point of the week is training. So I know that if I give everything in training, but some lads don't really work like that. That's not really a foreign way of working almost sometimes. So I have to understand that and just to try and push lads. And like I said to the club staff when I moved, like when I first came in the interview before, they were like, oh, what do you think you'll bring? And I said that like I can be a really good link between the young lads and the senior lads, I feel like, because like I can talk to them. I have a good way of working, a good understanding. Like, and I'm also going to demand the respect of the older lads as well to try and introduce these young boys through.
Yep.
And they were like, oh, I could see they're a bit confused. And now like I feel like they see, obviously we've had horrendous injuries this season. We've ended up with like 5 young lads on the bench. And it's like, I've got to keep like, listen, lads, this is the level. This is the level. Yeah. This is the level. And they're like, I feel like I'm having an effect almost, which is everything I needed to hear.
And having someone like you in their ear, because the actual starters can't be like that all the time. But having someone behind them like yourself that's telling them, this is the way it is. Yeah. This is the standards. This is what you need to do.
Yeah.
Enjoy this moment, but this is what you need to, like, for what to expect.
Mate,
where like you've got like 11.
They're coming to the level for the first time, like I am.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're like we're all learning on our feet, which is amazing. But no, to see someone like the way that they've developed, like we're starting an 18-year-old up front for 2 games, and 22-year-old the week before that, and it's like just a lot of young bodies and a lot of fresh energy, and it's like they just need nurturing. And a lot of the lad, they love doing extras, mate, and they look at me and they can't believe that I'm like, yeah, come on, I'll do another shooting drill. And they're like, what, really? And I'm like, yeah, come on, we'll do it. And they're like, oh, this is amazing. Like, we've never had, do you know what I mean? And
it's like,
I love that, mate. I love that, just that me versus you. Like, and I'll just stay out all day and do it with them. And they just die with laughter, mate, because they're like, well, you just don't stop. And I'm like, yeah, like, it's what I'm here for.
But
like,
then that's why you also get the respect of all the other players as well, because you're the one that will go, first one, put your hand up.
Literally.
And
literally.
I think it was Andy Lonergan that said it to me the best. He was like, everyone else gets judged on a Saturday. He goes, I get judged every day of the week.
Every day, mate. 5 days a week.
So, like, you have to be on it. You can't have a bad day in training. See, like, Jose Sarr, he can train terribly throughout the week, can't he? And as long as he plays well on Saturday, no one will ever know.
No one cares, because that's his preparation. That's how he has to get ready. But where my sole focus is
every
training,
day.
If I have a bad session, like, I can see people looking like, are you all right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm all right. I'll be all right. Just give me 5 minutes. I'm just a little bit, didn't sleep that well last night. Do you know what I mean?
Just like, not got going yet. Yeah,
just not got going. But obviously, that's how I'm being judged. Like, that's my judgment. That's my judgment time. Do you know what I mean? So I'm happy with that. I'm happy with the 5 days of pressure compared to the one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love it, mate. I love it. Every day I go out and I'm like, wow, what a journey. And just trying to push on to that next level now. You know?
See, the first day in training, did you notice straight away the step up in levels?
So I was quite lucky, actually, because Tony said to us that, like, we'd only do, like, the first 4 days just goalies.
Just goalies. Oh, it's a dream.
Brilliant, mate. So, like, honestly, like, we went there and it was, like, a lot of circuits, a lot of, like, just moving around the goal. Like, that's the way that he works. A lot of crosses, finding timing. And then by that time, like, I could see, like, with the other goalies, how they were training, the level and how quickly they were moving around the goal. Like, even the young lads, like, really, really, like, moving around the goal.
Yep.
And I was like, all right, cool. Like, going to have to step this up. Like,
yep.
Going to have to really step this up. And then ended up going in with the first teamers for the first session and just kind of like, you know what it's like, mate. You don't think about it, do you?
You're not overthinking
it.
You actually puff up your chest a bit more and you think, I'll show them.
I'm going to show you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the boys, like, it did give me a tickle. Like, so they're like, oh, where have you come from? And I was like, oh, my last team was Northampton. And they're like, what league? And I'm like, okay, like, I'm going to show you lot now. Like, and then, like, I could see the look of surprise on their face. Like, you save a couple that you probably shouldn't save. And it's like, this is the level? And I'm like, yeah, this is the level. This is what I can do. Like,
trying to dress up Northampton.
Yeah,
I'm just, in my head, I'm thinking Atletico Northampton.
Yeah. Oh, what country is this? Do you know what I mean? I'm like, all right, okay. But no, like, it was, do you know what? It was the best thing they could have said to me, because it was like even more like, right, I'm really going to show you a lot now. Like, you're going to know the level by the time that we're finished. And now even they just look at me and they say, like, okay, like, you've really stepped it up.
But like, I've spoke about it loads of before, but you know, like, even if you put Alisson or Edison in League Two,
yeah,
a few games in, they're going to go, don't really like this. Because it's a total different game.
Like, you're facing,
and like, they're
unbelievable.
They're the best goalkeepers in the world. And for like, sure. And obviously their quality would show through, because they're 10 times better than the goalkeeper I've ever been.
Of course.
But like, once it gets to that situation and they go, this pitch is crap, these footballs are flat, this one's an old ball, and like, the weather conditions, I know we all play in the same country, but it's different when you play on a terrible pitch, or literally, the stadiums are open, it's windier.
Yeah.
And once you start factoring all these sort of things in, you realise it's not that nice in like the lower leagues.
Mate, you can see, like, obviously, even in some of the FA Cup games, obviously I know some of the elite boys, they get moved out when they play some of the FA Cup games away, but it's never easy, mate. It's different. It's a completely different game, mate. You're facing untold amount of crosses. You're not, like, some of the players that you're playing with don't understand their roles and responsibilities as well, and they don't understand the shape and stuff like that. And it's not as easy to pass out, because a lot of the lads aren't on the same wavelength all the time. And, mate, it's a completely different game. And, I'm not to the point where I'd say, like, some of them would struggle. They're elite-level goalies. Like, their quality would shine through eventually.
But of course it would, yeah.
It's not as easy as just going, like, well, I'll just go and play at any level. Like.
But when you then also, like, daft things, like getting changed in a porter cabin at some grounds, or, like, freezing cold tiny like changing rooms, you've got to take your own underarm and your grip socks, and you've got to take all your own boots and gloves. You imagine telling like a Premier League goalie now, right, you take your own boots to the game,
mate. It was so, this year I worked it out with a friend of mine yesterday. This year was the first year in 5 seasons I've not had to wash my own training kit every day.
Yeah,
wow. And they're like, and all the boys are like, wash your own training kit? And I'm like, that's a lot of clubs. And they're like, no way. And I'm like, wash my own training kit, take underarmors to training every day, take socks.
Spare kit, because you've got gym in the afternoon, so you've got to take wash two kits for the next day.
How many times have you turned up to a game and there's like no socks or no pants, and it's like, oh, I forgot your underarmor today, like, you're right just to wear none. It's like, it's -4 and
But like, these are the sort of things that, mate, like, people
don't think about.
Yeah, they wouldn't think about, though.
Yeah, and I've tried to maintain a lot of that, like, myself. Like, I won't let the staff at Wolves do too much for me, because I'm like, listen, I'm not about all that. I like,
clearly don't wash your own gloves, by the way.
I'm like, oh, we can do this for you and do that, and I'm like, no, I'm fine. Like, I'm a grown man, I can do that all myself. Yeah. Like, don't worry about it. We don't need to overdo it. Just take my boots and my socks, and that's enough. Like, I'm all right with that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think they respect that in a way that I've not just gone like, oh, right, I'm here now, like, completely switch off. Do you know what I mean?
But that's also a great, another example to set for the younger ones that are travelling with you. If you're going, no, this is how it is, like, if you ain't got it, stop asking for it, sort it out yourself.
It has got to the point now where I've stopped asking, like, after games, like, oh, do you guys need help with anything? Because we have such an untold amount of staff that they're like, Kingy, seriously, go and get on the bus. All right, no problem. Yeah. Like, I can do that.
You've got to be able to enjoy it as well.
For sure. For sure.
Right, I've got a couple of quick fire questions for you now.
Of course.
Catch or parry?
So this is an interesting one. I've got a bit of an answer for this. So all the best saves you've ever made would be
100% parry, yeah.
So obviously I saw Colsey's interview and it's catch. Yeah. Obviously a goalkeeper coach is going to say catch. We all want the perfect save, but all the best saves I've ever made have been parry.
100%, because they're the fingertip extending.
100%. I'd rather have the catalogue of unbelievable worldies. I'm going to go parry.
Yeah, that's a great shout. Yeah, to be fair, you never see a highlight reel of anyone catching the ball.
Never. Unless it's like 1960s and like Neville Southall, who just caught absolutely everything in the net. Do you know what I mean?
Right, tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Yeah, that was a must. That sounded like it was desperation.
My day doesn't get going until the first two even. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, can't start my day.
Yeah. Do you live far from the training ground?
Nah, 15 minutes. So I'm up one, get to training one.
Yeah.
And then after training, normally one, and then depends in the evening, a little decaf.
Nothing hits better than I've got about an hour commute. Nothing hits better than that coffee in the car, mate.
First couple of sips.
Yes, so good, mate. Right, play short or kick it long?
So this is
Shoot.
So this is like a bit of another topic. I sound like sales here, then I'm going off. So this is, so like our five-a-sides now are like solely revolved around the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
So nothing goes on without the goalkeeper. So like, folding, like finding the problem, solving the problem. So like, basically the way that we run it is like the ball comes to me, I have to drop it, and then I have to wait for the pressure, find the solution from there, and then and it's all like that. So like I'm really enjoying like finding the problem, solving the problems, like really testing myself with my touch, like I'm a yard from my own goal line, making mistakes, it goes in. So I'm really, really enjoying, like obviously normally like with a kick that I've had my whole career, like kicking it long has been so easy and so normal, but
you get typecast though that you can't do the other side of it.
Yeah, and that's on like honestly, like a lot of the clubs have gone in, they're like, oh, you're a lot better than you with your feet than we thought. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, like, I can do that. I've just never been asked to do that because as soon as people see me kick it long, they're like, oh, we can just get close to the goal. Like that's no problem. But no, I'm really, really enjoying like the problem solving aspect of like playing short, mate. It's unbelievable.
See,
like,
you,
I'll show you some
that,
videos
right?
after. It's class, mate.
You say that, right? I like, you know, in the five-os, I hate it when you have a member of staff or a sub goalie or another goalie throwing you the ball to your hands. Right. I love doing the 3-yard doggy and getting the ball at my feet because it's
and
then
dribbling it out.
And dribbling it out because then you feel like you're progressing.
Yeah.
Because you know, like when you turn, and I feel like it's actually slower when you get the ball in your hand, then you turn around, then you're like, oh, I'll roll this one out.
Mad,
I like the, like, I've got to get my head on a swivel as I'm getting the ball out of my goal so that restart and play.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important.
So we have now, like, where he will stand, like, probably right on the corner flag, like, other side, and he'll pass one in. Yeah. So I have to take, like,
a touch.
And then by that moment, the ball's live.
Yeah.
So I've, like, checked my shoulder, the ball's coming. And then he might press, and then I've got to find a solution like that, or they might sit off, and we have like different versions of the game. But, mate, honestly, the problem-solving aspect is...
That's class, though.
Oh, it's brilliant, mate. I'll show you some videos after. It's insane,
I see that.
So good.
Right, we spoke about this before. Right, favourite ever goalkeeper?
Yeah, we obviously had a chat off camera about this. Mate, the way that Manuel Neuer has revolutionised what goalkeeping is, and
you're the perfect age for Neuer as well, aren't you, to have watched
his, like, Schalke foot save where he was just like on fire.
Yep.
But then, like, even like I lived in Gibraltar for a couple of years, and like a lot of my friends were Real Madrid fans, and I got to watch like a lot of Casillas like on Spanish TV, and like kind of caught like the real unbelievable era of Casillas as well. But the way that Manuel Neuer has revolutionised and made goalkeeping a hell of a lot harder, by the way, because it's not just like stand on your line and just save everything that comes now. It's like,
can you read the through ball?
You've got to read through balls, everything. You've got to be the best player on the pitch with your feet, you've got to be the calmest, you've got to sweep up, tidy up, and save shots as well. And it's like,
do a couple of kick ups and flick it over an Arsenal player's head.
On like that just bewilders me, mate.
Yeah,
Champions League quarter final, and he's flicking it up, doing keep ups in the middle
of the
pitch.
I think that's also the culture that he's been involved in.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that in England, like, especially as you're coming through, you just wouldn't ever play again.
I think that, like, obviously Schweinsteiger spoke a lot about it in the press when he signed for Man United, that De Gea was onto him all the time, like, what makes Neuer so great? And he was like, you'll never understand it, but he's just the best ever.
Yeah.
And De Gea was on at him all the time, and like, now I get it. I get to see that, like, he has that aura, that like persona. He steps onto the pitch, everybody knows it's Manuel Neuer, it's this, like, he's out injured, the German press is going mental, he's back in, he's not.
And what's mad is they've got Ter Stegen as a replacement, and they're still begging for Neuer back.
He Ter Stegen is the unluckiest guy in a goalie that is top three in the world for me, and he can't.
Apart from his hair transplants, one of the best I've ever seen.
Glad you mentioned it. It's unbelievable.
I'm
all right for the moment, but if I ever need it, I'm gonna have to get hold of Ter Stegen.
Wherever he's gone, I'm going, mate.
Yeah,
he's filled in. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right. Best keeper in the world right now, then.
Yeah. Alisson.
It has to be, innit? It's got everything.
I can't. Anyone who says it's not Alisson, I'd love to just show you some footage. Like, last Wales camp we went away, Tony Roberts just literally showed us an hour of Alisson. He's like, just watch that. Like, just watch how good that is. And I was like, yeah. Like, but it's some of his technique is crazy. Like, he's on the move a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like, he's down the line of the ball constantly.
He's physically.
And if me and you tried it tomorrow, mate, I tried it for half a session, I was miles off it.
Yeah,
it's taken him years and years and years to perfect that technique of the block spread. He's unbeatable on the block spread, and it's just one of the. He's an anomaly.
His agility is unreal as well. The power he has to get to top corner saves. And
I've heard obviously, quite friendly with Lonners, and he says he can literally just push from the middle of the goal and save it in the top corner. And it's like, that's unheard of.
That doesn't make sense.
To go that quick, it's unbelievable, mate. Yeah, he's clear for me, way clear.
Long sleeve shirt or short sleeve shirt?
Short sleeve with the Under Armour. Yeah.
You love the arms out, didn't you?
I've had a couple, but I get Selzy again. He says that, like, obviously the arms get slippy, and he's like, don't let your arms get slippy, because if you basket it and scoop catch it, if they get slippy, it might go through. And I'm like, it's so in my own head. So yeah, I'm normally
bit of friction on the...
Normally the Under Armour, but like if it's ridiculous, I'll
Selzy's only sold you that so you don't have your tattoos on display, mate. 100%.
You know.
Right, movie or box set?
Box set.
Yeah? Box what are you set. Into?
I've done all the classics. I've done all the classics.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Breaking
Prison
Bad.
Break.
Prison Break, yeah.
Walking Dead?
After the 37th season, mate, I was completely checked
out. I'm still all in, mate. I've watched all the spin-offs.
Yeah.
Fear of the Walking Dead. I've watched them all, mate. Love
yeah,
it.
Good. No, box set for sure. It's just that, like,
it's easy, isn't it?
Gives you 3 or 4 weeks of just good, hard, 100%. Solid watching, doesn't it?
Right, and then last minute penalty save or score a goal. You've scored a goal already.
Yeah, it was a score mad
goal
feeling.
In a stadium.
The only regret is no fans.
Yeah,
that would have been like just to hear that and have the kind of our fans celebrating, and it would have been good to have that. But obviously, it'll never take away what a special moment that was. But just kind of the realisation of what it really was after the game. Do you know what I mean? That was top.
Yeah.
Top.
Right, let's go back then to the start of your career. How did you get into goalkeeping? What age group?
Tallest lad.
Yeah.
That was literally, was in the school, primary school, and just one of like the other parents of one of the other boys come up to my mum at the time and said, like, listen, it sounds massive. Like, would you love to just stand in goal for us on a Sunday morning? Like, I was a bit unsure at the time. Like, my mum was a swimmer growing up, so I was doing a lot
of
swimming.
Got scouted by another lad's mum.
Literally, like, he was like, your lad is just huge. Like, does he want to just come and stand in the middle of the goal? Like, he bound to get in the way of something.
Yeah.
And I was doing a lot of swimming at the time. My mum's like, oh, well, you can try it. Like, let's go down there. Let's go, like, went to old Sports World, got the gloves out. And I was like, all right, okay, cool. First ever game, mate. It was, like, shelling down. And there was a great big huge puddle like in the middle of the goal mouth. And that was me sold, mate. Like, I love this. It was more like watching my mum get mad that all my kit was dirty and all that. And I was like,
I thought you were gonna say you love swimming that much.
Yeah. I had the goggles on doing front crawl in a 6L box.
Snorkel on in a
goal. Literally, yeah, unbelievable. But like that was me sold, mate, from there on out. And then obviously you have tough days, but like from that point on, mate, like, I tried the outfield thing. Like, I was 6'13", do you know what I mean? I tried the outfield thing, but I'd cramp every single time, so I was like, nah, not me. No.
Running's not for us.
Oh, mate. Like, it's mad how much, like, I actually despise it.
Do you?
Yeah. See, I don't know how lads do it, mate.
See, like, I like running at one pace for a long time. I love endurance sports. So, like, I can sit on a bike for hours. I can run.
I'm very
like,
similar.
Long distance. But if you ask me to do a 1K tomorrow, I'd just be like, no, why?
And it's the sprint, then have the composure, have all the game knowledge. Like, I like the fact that the game is, like, there. I can see it and don't got to worry about what's behind me. And obviously there's a bit of checking your shoulders now with how we're playing, but I love the fact that it's all there in front of me.
Yeah, so much. It's changed a lot.
Yeah, literally.
Right, let's get on to the Selzy.
Wow, where do we start?
Yeah, obviously you've got a huge backstory and a special relationship with...
So I was playing for...
I call him Uncle Selzy.
Yeah, he's papa to me. Yeah. You know? But no, he's... so it was I was an under 15 at the time, or it might have been under 14, and I was playing up a couple of years under 16, and we played against Crystal Palace. And I remember after I'd done quite well in the game, you know, you get that feeling when you're a kid, like, oh, I've done all right there. Like, and I remember, like, just like, obviously, he's quite a large gentleman in here, and he's like, come over to me, well played, son, well played. And I'd like never thought anything of it. Obviously, I was not into goalkeeping as much as I am now, and I had no real clue he was. And like a couple of weeks went past, and like I was kind of in and around the England frame and that at the time as well. And like I had a bit of an agent, and he was talking to me, and he said, listen, there's a fellow who wants to have a bit of chat with you, who runs sells goalkeeper products. Like, you'd be quite interested in having a chat. I said, okay. Like, didn't mean anything to me at the time. I wasn't into it big. And he, like, we had a really good chat. Me and my mum got the train up to have a meeting with him, and just like, and he said, like, listen, I've seen a lot of goalies in my time, and I think you've got an hell of a chance. Like, if you want to do this together, like, I know you're going away with England, like, that'd be really good. Like, if we could do this, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. Like, didn't really think much of it. Like, just thought, like, you know, it's like young kid. Like,
of course. Didn't realise he was the glove father.
He is the glove father, yeah. And then, like, couple more weeks went past, and, like, I could see, like, there were some things starting to happen at Portsmouth. It was the administration era and the change of managers. Yeah. And, like, obviously my last year was the Championship relegation. And I was a bit like, okay. And then, like, the agent at the time said, well, there might be some interest from Selzy. And I was like, what? Like, what do you mean? He's like, okay, I think Crystal Palace might take it based on his word. And I was like, oh, wow, like, really? Okay, like, no problem. So, like, didn't really think much of it. Again, just thought, like, you know what it's like at the time? Yeah. Like, you've been in and around the England setup, I can do this and do that. And And then little did I know that he was going to be probably the most influential man in my whole career, just like constant, you know what it's like talking to him, like it was a lot of 2-hour chats, 3-hour chats. And it just like really, really shaped me into being, and I also like had the help of Julian Speroni, who's a big friend of Selzy's at the time as well, like ultimate professional. And it was just kind of Selzy going like, be like him. And I was like, yeah. Like, and I used to watch Julian train all the time, like unbelievable athlete.
Even like to his 40s, he was unbelievable.
Incredible, still. Mate. Incredible. He could have played on way longer, but I think he wanted to go out while it was unbelievable, and he didn't want to face any downturn or whatever. That was just my opinion of how I saw it. I don't know if that was actually the case, but yeah. And then it was just crazy that it grew more and grew more, like the me and Selzy thing grew more and grew more. And then like to the point where it was like we were talking pretty much every day. And obviously we've fallen out over all sorts of things. But just the kind of like, and now looking back at everything that he said and now to being where I am now, that he's like his favorite thing to me at the minute is like, I was telling everybody this when you were 16 that you could do it and now you are. And I was like, yeah, I'm sorry it took so long. But yeah, like the relationship, I think like he told me the other day that an agent asked him if he's actually my biological father, because he's heard it from so many other lads that like, oh, that's Kingy's dad. And listen, people laugh and I love it. I love it. I speak to him most of the time and he's a talker and I think he can confide in me and I confide in him a lot.
Yeah.
And I've made a lot of mistakes over my career and he's helped me iron them out. He spoke to the right people at the right time. That's helped me iron out a lot of the mistakes in my career. And yeah, there's no other person I'd be.
It's unbelievable, obviously, your relationship. But to have someone that understands you, that will fight your corner.
Yeah.
It's like, obviously,
who understands the game?
Yeah, exactly. That knows your position.
For sure.
So like to have all of these in the one figure and that one person that you can rely on and they're there for you.
But he does like, obviously, he does a lot of work for you. He's done a lot of work for Remy. He's done a lot of work for another young goalie at Palace. And he did a lot of work for all the young goalies at Palace. And any young goalie who rings him and asks for his help, like,
he will just help anyone. He will just,
he doesn't expect anything in return.
And you don't even, like, everyone thinks, oh, it's just for the gloves.
Literally.
He speaks to goalies that don't wear his products.
He doesn't
care. Exactly the same. He just wants goalies.
Literally.
Just do well.
He loves young goalies doing well.
Yeah.
He loves talking about goalkeeping. He loves talking full stop, but he loves talking about goalkeeping. And if you want to ring him and have a chat about goalkeeping, goalkeeper gloves, anything to do with that, he's your man. And we just kind of built a relationship off that. It was kind of the era where I was really getting into it and the gloves were good and amazing. Amazing guy. And I couldn't be, there's nobody that has had a bigger impact on my career other than him, for sure.
Final thing on it. You must have a code word to get him off the phone. It's the only thing I need to know.
Petrol station.
It's got to be I'm just filling up now. I've got an electric car now. I'm like, sells you, I'm at petrol station.
So like my missus, like we have like the three goodbyes. So like I say, right, I'm off now, mate. And he's like, yeah. Right, no, seriously, mate, I'm off now. And he goes, yeah. And I'm like, right, no, that's it, I'm off. And then that'll be it.
Done. Go,
and then he gets the third goodbye. But nah, listen, I love listening to him ramble on and I hope I've been able to help him as much as he's been able to help me.
No, obviously, like, full credit to him as well for helping as many people. He probably doesn't realise how many people along the way that he's helped, especially goalkeeper-wise. He's
thinking, like, today's modern game as well, like the amount of guys that are just after something for something.
Yeah.
He will literally, like, if there's any young goalies, like, proper struggling.
Yep.
If you can get his number or find a way to contact him, he will help you. He will do the best to help you until he can't. And then once he's exhausted every avenue, he'll then tell you, like, right, we can try something else.
Yeah.
Like, we can do something
else. It's brilliant.
It's brilliant. And obviously, like, to see how proud he is now that I'm kind of in with the big boys and holding my own and a new contract and potentially getting a chance to do something incredible is, like, a real good thing.
Yeah.
I'm glad I've been able to kind of have this point in my career where he can look at me and say, like, finally, all those things I told people were bang on.
Yeah.
It's good. Amazing. It's amazing.
Right, let's go on to Palace then. Cool. Obviously, being at Palace, you was there for a fair few years anyway.
Three.
Like, obviously, coming through there and having Selzy in the background, but studying someone like Speroni.
Yeah.
Did you know that, like, it would be limited game time, that you'd struggle to break in?
Yeah.
So was you always thinking, look, at some point I will need to leave? Or was Selzy pushing you, saying, like, just fight for it, just keep fighting?
Yeah. I think it was tough. Like, obviously, with my second year there was the promotion year to the Premier League, which automatically was going to make it
10 times harder.
Really difficult to break into that first team. I made a lot of mistakes as a young man, and I think that I had to make those mistakes to really realise what goalkeeping is now. Like, you have to have full dedication to the art of it, otherwise there's no point in even giving it a go. If you're half in, half out, then, like, there's actually no point in trying, because you're just, the other lads will surpass you quickly, which they did to me.
Yeah.
Which they did to me at Palace. But I look back on a lot of things that probably didn't go my way. Like, so in the year that I signed there, Selzy was very, very, very involved. But, like, obviously was running his business, was doing a lot of other things with the flower business and stuff as well. So, like, he wasn't in every day. So I would say 3 days out of the five we were in, I'd have no goalie coach. So that's like your biggest sponge era, where you're trying to soak up as much information. And like, for example, we'd train on a Saturday morning and go to the first team game. There'd be no goalie coach. We'd go to the games. If Selzy couldn't make it, no goalie coach. Mondays, if Julian wasn't on the pitch, sometimes, like, and it was Lee Turner at the time. And, like, he would be honest and say, listen, I'm done. Like, I'm going in, and no goalie coach. And, like, that's the days where you need,
you need the help
every single day, every single day. But it was through no fault of, just like the academy hadn't grown into what it is now. Like, it's now a Premier League academy. They've got a goalie coach for every age group. And I understood that. But then that was like my kind of era where I was like, oh, I could have done with that.
Yeah.
I look back now and I think, oh, what could have been? Like, if I'd have just had a little bit of someone pushing me and taking me for videos. Yeah. And it's funny, actually, I was talking to Boaz about it when I went away to Wales last time, and he's like, mate, you have kids now that are like asking you, why are you putting drills on? Why are you putting sessions on? They're demanding video footage every single day after training. Yeah, he says he has lads at West Brom that are doing that. Like, right, I need to see you. We need to go through today's footage. You need to explain to me.
We couldn't even get a goalie coach.
Crazy, mate. Crazy. And I'm like, wow, like, what an era for young lads and young goalies, like, to be going through, where every single minute detail of training is like micro-analyzed to the point where, like, you can iron something out like that. Like, it's not even like you go in, you watch the video, and you go, all right, I won't swing my arms so much tomorrow, and I can try and work that out, and that's why I'm not saving it, and blah, blah, blah. And it's insane, mate.
But there's like a flip to that, because the position intelligence would just be unbelievable, because they're learning the game quicker they're developing quicker.
Yeah.
But the actual character, what we've had to go through to get to the point that we're at,
for sure,
that doesn't come naturally. That's learned. And it's like being in that environment of like, this is hard.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And like, I feel like I'd have liked it somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, of course.
Somewhere in the middle where it was like, filming training was normal, so I could just have I watch training back pretty much every day. Yeah. So like, we have Scott Bevan now, who does, like, he clips all of our like individual clips, and he'll send you like a 4 minute clip at the end of the day of everything that you've done during the training, which is like unbelievable. And I'm like, I wouldn't be taking full advantage of this if I wasn't watching it back. So I like watching it back, and you know what it's like, mate, like, you make a couple of saves in training, you're like, oh, that felt good.
And then
you watch it back and you're like, oh, that wasn't as good as I thought it was, you know what I mean?
Disappointed.
But, oh, mate, honestly, and I'm just like,
can't go on Instagram, that one.
Yeah. Did nothing unless it went on Instagram, did it? Do you know what I mean? But I'd have liked it somewhere, probably somewhere in the middle. But that, like, going back to the Palace thing, like, it was so good because it taught me so many lessons. And, like, there's a bit of a backstory to it as well. So obviously Millwall was next after that. And I actually signed the contract for Millwall. And my agent at the time rang Millwall and said, like, oh, he's actually got nowhere to live. And Millwall were like, well, what do you mean? Like, he's been at Palace. Is he not from South London? And they were like, oh, no, like, he's from Portsmouth. Like, he's got nowhere to live. And they were like, oh, like, he was quite open, like, at the time, and said, like, we wouldn't have signed him if we'd known we'd have had to put him up somewhere. Like, this is actually, like, really, like,
wow.
So I look back at that and I'm like, oh, like, Palace in a way saved my life, because the Millwall time of my life was, like, those years were incredible.
Yeah.
Like, incredible years. Obviously, the back-to-back League One playoff finals. The League One playoff finals to get to the champ. Obviously, lost one, win one. And then, like, that year in the champ where, like, I was on the bench for a large part of the season, and then going on loan and different experiences, and those boys, that group that we had.
That Millwall spell for you. Obviously, you had loans to Welling, Braintree, Stevenage and Wimbledon.
Yeah.
But, like, you also played for Millwall at that time and experienced, like you're saying, like the playoffs.
Yeah.
And, like, you can't, in that spell, learn as much as you did, really. Because it was just an unbelievable little whirlwind for you, weren't it?
I was very lucky that the year that, obviously, I went in, the club was relegated. I was very lucky. Yeah. That year that I went in, they were in the Championship, and it was under Ian Holloway, and they were relegated. So it was like, everything was cut back.
Yep.
I had an extra year on my contract just due to the one that I'd just signed. A lot of the lads were up a contract at that time. And Obviously, then Neil Harris ended up getting the job, who was the under-21s manager when I'd signed as an under-21 as well. So
it fits perfect.
So, but none of that would have happened unless I'd have had Palace, because they wouldn't have even batted an eyelid.
That's
like,
crazy, isn't it?
Madness.
Just by an accident, right?
Just by, like, oh, is he not
someone's from? Mistake, yeah.
Incredible. And that's why, like, those, and obviously having Kevin Pressman as a goalie coach and at the start, and then obviously going into Lee Turner by the end, like someone who I'd had at Palace as well, like it was just crazy, like the full transition of how the club was, obviously getting relegated and getting promoted back, obviously all in that short spell of time. Yeah. Like, and that group of lads we had was incredible, and none of it would have happened without Palace.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. You obviously clearly enjoyed your Millwall time though.
Yeah.
But how difficult was it going out on loan each time to try and prove yourself?
Yeah, you know what it's like, mate. The first one is always the hardest.
Yeah, it is.
Because
yeah.
like, you have
you
to,
don't know your level yet.
I had no idea. I just knew that it was the conference and I'd played in.
Yeah.
Like I'd done this and done that. And then you go and you make the first mistake and you're like, oh, that why does that happen?
Yeah.
And then you make the second one, the third one. But all the time you're learning, you're just picking it all up. And it's hard. But the only thing I wish I'd done is taken more of what I was about into that rather than the other way around.
Yeah.
Like they kind of probably affected me more than I like had an effect on myself.
But at that young age, it's difficult to go and impose yourself how you would like to. It's easy in hindsight.
Of course. And my first loan, I was sent back.
Yeah.
I was sent back because they were like, we were bottom of the league. I'd been dropped after 7 or 8 games. Wasn't training well. Couldn't get going. Didn't know the level. And I was sent back. And that's the biggest thing I'd say to all young kids. Like, it doesn't matter how the first one goes necessarily all the time. Like, do not let that kill you. Like, yeah. I was sent back.
Yeah.
Like, and they were like, he's not good enough, he'll never make it. Millwall were like, no, we believe in him. Like, we think he's all right, we think he'd do well. And then the Cowleys took a chance on me, took me to Braintree, and we ended up with the lowest budget in the league, getting to the playoff semi, and we was, I think it was like 3 minutes away from going to Wembley.
It's crazy, that.
Madness, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
We played against the Cowleys the other day, and them two did not stop talking.
Unbelievable, aren't they? They're unbelievable.
Just didn't shut up.
Their attention to detail, and obviously at the time, like, they were PE teachers.
Yeah, they were
doing the Braintree thing part time, and their attention to detail, like, you could tell, at that moment they were going to do something. I didn't know what it was. Obviously, the Huddersfield thing ended up being the highest they've ever managed, but I knew it would be somewhere along those lines, but I didn't quite know where it was. But they were incredible for me. Like, kind of my first day in the building, they were like, "Listen, we know what everyone says about you. We know what Welling have said about you, but we've seen enough. We've seen enough to know that you're going to do all right." So I have a lot to thank for them. They gave me a real like a jump to where my career has gone today. And then a year after that, Millwall said, "Oh, we saw enough at Braintree for you to be the number two, and if we need you, you'll play." And I was like, wow. Like, and then that was when you've half arrived. Do you know what I mean?
That's the step up. That's the vote of confidence that you need sometimes.
For sure.
You need that, like, reinforcement from a manager to go, no, you're ready.
Yeah.
You are ready.
Like, yeah.
All the stuff that you've learned in the past, you're ready for it now.
Yeah. And like, after being sent back, obviously, it's not ideal. Obviously, I'm not saying that to all young kids, like, oh, if you're sent back, it'll be fine. It's not fine. Like, you need to regain your level quickly, otherwise it can disappear as quickly as it appeared for you. Do you know what I mean? But at the same time, I was like, oh, I know I can do it. I still know I can do it. I just don't know at what level or what. And then, like, the Welling thing, I made, like, some proper good saves that year. And I was like, oh, no, like, all I needed was someone to put an arm around me. And that was unusual for the National League at that time, that two managers were that smart that they could have that man management to
do it.
Because normally it's all, like, not good enough, out, not good enough. It's quick changeovers and short contracts and stuff. And they really put an arm around me. Even when I made mistakes, they were like, nah, it's fine. Like, we know what you can do. Like,
just a bit of faith, isn't it?
For sure. For sure.
It seems like, obviously, with a few people, it's just keeping the faith yourself, because you've got enough positive people telling you in the background, it's going to happen. Just be patient. And, like, it's so important that enforcement from behind.
Yeah.
That you know, like, no, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing things right. But obviously, every now and then, there's a curveball that happens, and it makes it difficult.
And my curveball was not the next loan. Stevenage went okay, and then the next loan after that was Wimbledon,
where
I was given a chance, an unbelievable opportunity at an amazing club to go and play in League One, which I knew I could do. Obviously, I'd spent the year playing most of the games for Millwall, just under half the games for Millwall, so I knew I could play that level, and just, like, couldn't get going, mate.
Yeah.
Couldn't get going completely. I don't know what it like. I'd probably overdone the summer, if I was completely honest, which has been a big lesson for me moving on in my career. And then, like, we had some really amazing characters in that dressing room, but
I just couldn't get going, mate. I just honestly, everything, like even from the first training sessions, I was like, miles off. It was completely new way of working. I don't know if you've come across Ashley Bays.
Yeah, I've spoke to him loads of times.
Yeah, like that. Completely new way of working, loads of tempo, loads of intensity. And yeah, it was something new for me, something that I've not experienced before. And it was a big shock. And I couldn't get to grips. Just couldn't get to grips. And sometimes that happens.
No, that happens, yeah.
You get a new coach, you get a new way of playing. It was like somewhere in between playing out and playing long. And yeah, it was just all too much for me, mate. And I thought I'd cracked it because obviously the League One promotion, thought I'd cracked it, which yeah, is like a detriment to myself, which I'll never forgive myself for, because that was a huge opportunity to do something amazing with that group of lads, which ended up staying up on the last day. Yeah. But yeah, no, like, and I look back at that, and that was my biggest learning experience, which was the biggest curveball, which was amazing.
But that all stands you in stead for later on. Like you were still young at that point.
Yeah,
what was you, 21 or something at that
21,
point?
21, yeah.
Yeah, so like, still
enough time to turn it.
Still a whole career ahead of you.
Enough
know what I mean?
Time. But then, like, and that's where Selsey was so vital for me, because you have a lot of people saying, like, it'll be all right. Be all right. You can turn this around. Like, yeah, it's not the end. It's not the end. And Selsey went, like, along the lines of, it could be the end if you let it be the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, I was like, yeah, like, I needed to hear that. Like, thanks. Yeah. And then that's when Newport came
around. Yeah, Newport came about then. Obviously, you had a really, well, You had a good spell there.
Yeah.
You played a lot of games, and obviously the goal and that you're going to be mainly remembered for at Newport.
I think so, yeah.
But like, that's obviously just part and parcel of it. Yeah. But was it more for you about just getting out and playing games and being someone's number one,
yeah,
or fighting for that number one place?
Yeah, for sure. After speaking a lot with Selsey in that summer, I just said to him, like, what's going to be the best way for me to really get this back on track now? Like, I've gone half a season training with the under 15s at Millwall, like, I was completely in the bin, like, fell out of love with the game completely.
Yeah.
And he said that, like, listen, the best way for you to do it is just to go and play an absurd amount of games and just rekindle that love, keep playing. And I think I ended up starting the season with Newport with like 5 or 6 clean sheets in a row. And I was like, oh, this is what it's about.
Yeah.
Like, this is what it's about. League Two, like, can get in and amongst this. The pitch was nice at the time, yeah, obviously.
that goes south out.
And then obviously, like, three months in was like the happiest moment of my life, my first Wales call-up.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow. That was like when I was like, oh, okay, like, your career might be a little bit different than you thought it was going to be when you were sat on the bench at Wimbledon last season.
Just for that recognition as well of like...
For sure. Yeah. And I got like, I'd say I got lucky. Obviously going to a Welsh team helped a lot. Just kind of sparked their interest a little bit. Obviously, there's not a huge amount of Welsh goalkeepers currently playing at the minute as well. And there wasn't even at that time either. So it was interesting. And then I got lucky because Tony Roberts and Tony Shrodwick at the time from the Wales setup, they were just like, okay, we'll just go and watch him. And it's probably one of my best games of that season as well. So there you talk about that
timing and luck, yeah.
Timing and luck. And then I was talking to Danny Ward about this last time. I have basically my whole career to thank to his firstborn child, because the reason I got the Wales call up was because he couldn't fly to Azerbaijan because of his firstborn child. Yeah, so I was like, my whole career is because of your firstborn child. And he's like, all right, I'll let her know. So that's how I got my first chance. And then, yeah, I just, like I said, I just tried to maximise that opportunity with Tony Roberts and a lot of the Wales coaching staff. And obviously got another slice of luck that when Giggs obviously left the managerial post, Rob Page, who was the assistant manager, who was quite fond of me, and we had a good relationship through some mutual friends and stuff. So yeah, we talk about that luck and that timing, and it was just like everything fell into place, and a lot of that was on me because I was able to maximize the opportunity that they'd given me, that Tony had given me. And obviously if my technique and my standard and my quality wasn't there, he'd have just binned me off after the first one. So I have a lot to thank for that, but obviously I owe an undebted amount to Tony Roberts as well.
And then obviously leaving Newport at the end of that season, I think it was just the COVID year.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, we were in the same boat where you're like, don't know where the next job actually is, because football had changed. And if you were out of contract at that time, it was scary, weren't it?
Proper.
Like, you're just like, this could be the end of football. Like,
and obviously, we lost the playoff final as well. So I was like, okay, like, if we win the playoff final, it might give me an opportunity in League One, maybe, potentially. And then to have, like, no opportunity. And it was like, oh. Like, and I remember obviously speaking to Selsey, and you were dealing with the same sort of thing.
There's loads of us in that boat at that time.
And it was like, what can we get? Like, what's out there for any of us? Like, and it was a real, real scary, like, kind of like breaking point in my career where I was like, it's either going to be like all in here or or nothing.
Because contracts were getting stripped back, like financially.
Proper. Because it was, it's proper still taking a toll, mate. You're 100%. Still feeling the toll now, mate.
Contracts were getting chopped in half, if not worse. Proper. And everyone was looking for that free loan move. And anyone that was in contract was getting moves. That you was like, why are they not signing goalies? And everyone was going that emergency loan route, just saying, well, we're going to have one number one. And if he gets injured, we'll sign someone on loan. Yeah. You're like, incredible. That left so many goalkeepers out of work.
Still to this day, mate. There's still like, obviously, I think they need to address that rule probably, because I think it's unfair on the young kids who travel to every game with no real hope of playing. Like, they're never, ever going to play. And I think it's killing a lot of young kids, and I think it's tough. And it's killing a lot of lads who have experience. Like, I'm not saying they should just be handing out contracts to anyone, but there's a lot of good experienced goalies who are just not getting chances just because clubs want to try and take the financially. Yeah.
There's got to be a rule in place that they have to have two of their own first team goalkeepers.
I think so.
And then if there's injuries, or even if you wanted to sign another loan on top of that, that you've just got to carry the burden.
Yeah. And then like, I've got my another, like, people are going to be listening to this thinking like, this guy's just got slice of luck after slice of luck. But I was actually, my partner's from Manchester, and I was on my way to visit her for her birthday. And I got a call from Gary Bowyer, who was the Salford manager at the time. He said, like, where are you? Like, your agent says you're in the car on the way to Manchester. And I was like, oh yeah, like, why? And he's like, do you want to come train with us for a couple of days? And I was like, well, yeah. Like, luckily got boots and gloves in the car. I was like, all right, I'll come in and do a couple of days. Obviously Salford, there was a lot of like media hype around Salford at the time. Obviously so many years in League Two, they wanted to get out and do this and do that. And I just thought, all right, well, I'll go there. I'll give it my best chance and see what happens. And yeah, it was ended up offering me a contract actually on my missus' birthday, which was like 2 or 3 days after the training and stuff. So
yeah, I think he was out for a meal at the Ivy or something, wasn't
it? Mate, honestly, like we was up having a drink, and I just got the text through saying like, yeah, it's all done, like just go and sign it tomorrow. Like, yeah. And it's just that slice of luck, mate. Like, she was living in Manchester, I was going there, and like, we didn't have to relocate, and it like meant that we could get closer and like get to know each other properly a lot more and live together and do all that. And it
fell into place. Mate, lovely.
Honestly, like, so many different bits of luck at different times and different, like, if I hadn't have had boots and gloves in the car at that time, and crazy, mate. When I look back at it, real like mad slice of luck.
Yeah.
Real mad slice. Right,
I'm going to put some boots and gloves in the car.
Yeah. Keep them in there. No, you never know.
You never know.
I'm driving to Madrid.
Right. Obviously, again, you had a good spell at Salford until they signed Cairnsey.
Yeah.
And then obviously it became then a battle for the two of you. You got given an ultimatum whether to stay and fight for your place because he was going to play, or to go and obviously explore our avenues elsewhere.
Yeah.
What goes through your head at the during those sort of talks?
Tough. Like, probably one of the toughest conversations I had. Obviously, we were fourth or fifth in the league at the time. I was well over 50% of clean sheets. Yep. My save percentage was high. Like, I love to keep an eye on stats. I don't think they tell the full story, but they can tell majority of the story. And it was a new way of playing. Obviously, Neil Wood had come from Man United Academy. It was a new way of playing for me, and I was adapting all right. And then, just like, obviously, Cairnsey came in the building. I knew him and one of the assistant managers had worked together before, and I thought, okay, I see the connection, no problem. And then, like, you start to get that feeling. The manager starts talking to you a little bit less, and the coaches start, when you look their way, they look the other way. And I was like, okay, I can feel what's coming here a little bit. Yeah. And he said, like, listen, if there's an opportunity for you to go and do something else, go and do something else. If you want to stay, fight out, stay and fight out, it's no problem. And then, we played Northampton. It was the first game I was on the bench, played Northampton. Cairnsey won't mind me saying this. He made a mistake in the first game. And I was like, okay, I might get my chance back here. And then at half time, I see the ball go up and it's the Northampton goalies come off. Lee Burge come off. So I spoke to one of my friends at Northampton. I said, what's he done? He said, oh, he's torn his calf. I said, okay. Leave it with me. Leave it with me. Straight on the phone to Selzy after the game. I said, Selzy, I think we might be saved here, mate. And 2 weeks later, I was on the phone to John Brady in the hotel away at Cheltenham away. Ironically, Cheltenham away in the Papa John's trophy. And it was like, get yourself, when you're back in Manchester, pack your things, come to Northampton. And then I ended up, I played eight or nine games in a row. And then, the manager, John Brady, made the decision to put Lee Burge back in, which was his decision, obviously. I wasn't going to bemoan that because...
No, of course. If Burge, he's done well so before well. That he played and then so got well, an injury. Yeah.
He played so well. Listen, as you know, mate, it's tough to take. It's obviously tough to take, but I understood it more than anything in my career, probably, that he'd built up so much credit in the first part of the season that he was going to go back in. And I was able to help, and obviously we were promoted. So yeah. I'd gone from like the ultimate low of that season of like, oh, I might have to spend the whole season on the bench here to, yeah, lead to promotion, my second one.
But it shows maturity that you understood the situation anyway.
Yeah, for sure. And I had no choice, mate. I had no choice. I knew that my contract was coming up at the end of the season. I knew that if I could apply myself well, Northampton might give me an opportunity to stay.
Yeah.
And we might be in League One.
Yeah.
I might get an opportunity to play again. And it's only, you're only doing yourself a disjustice if you don't train hard. If you don't train hard every day, because when you get your opportunity, you're going to be miles off it.
Yeah.
And I knew that I might get an opportunity to go again because the calf injury is a really tough one and it might go again or whatever. So I knew that if I could just go train my hardest every day, they might offer me a new deal, which they did, which is obviously another credit to myself that I'd applied myself really well and obviously League One. And then obviously the Wolves thing came
out. Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, incredible.
Right. What's your goalie knowledge like?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You know I'm going to do the quiz now.
Not good enough for the quiz, but good enough, I reckon, yeah.
I can't, it sells you will love listening to this, by the way.
Don't, he'll know every answer, no doubt.
He thinks I stitched him up, he still thinks I stitched him up. So yeah, goalie or no goalie, right? So I've actually got five goalkeepers for you that were in the squads of the last five squads that played against Wales.
Amazing. Okay, yeah, we've had some obscure games as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. So I've picked out some random names that were obviously second or third choice for them. Or
give me the
starters.
Dirty looks when they're walking to the other end of the pitch. Yeah, I love it.
You're not likely to play them again. So
Of course.
Soon. And the five non-goalkeepers are actually five James Bond villains. So I don't know what your James Bond knowledge is like.
Not unbelievable, but
the names are incredible.
Yeah. Okay.
When I started Googling, I was like, I love this.
You get me on a right tender hook here, won't you?
Right, so number one, Lucifer Saffin.
Not goalie.
He's not a goalkeeper. He is No Time to Die, played by Rami Malek.
There we go.
Yeah. Great name, isn't it?
Is that actually his name?
The character's name. Lucifer Saffin.
Wow.
What a goalie that would be.
Do you know what? I have like a bit of a picture knowledge, and obviously I look at the team sheets and that when we get it through, and I didn't remember a Saffin, but yeah, I had no clue it was that cat. No chance.
Nice. Right, number two, Marcin Bolka.
Oh, goalie.
Goalie, yeah.
Yeah.
Neeson Poland goalie.
Massive, by the way.
Is he massive?
One of the biggest goalies I've come across. I played against him in the youth team when he was at Chelsea and I was at Portsmouth.
Yeah.
And I never remembered him being that big. And I was like, half looking up to him in the tunnel. Yeah.
You're a big cat as well.
Yeah, big boy, mate.
Right, number three, Jesse Jorinen.
Goalie.
Finland, yeah.
Yeah.
You proper studied your goalies.
Yeah,
you?
Just a little bit, yeah,
them.
Not bad.
For Venezia and Finland.
Yeah.
Right, number four, Ernst Blofeld.
Oh, that's James Bond villain.
Yeah, it's Spectre.
Christopher
Waltz.
That is him. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's all coming back to me.
I love a bit of James Bond, I'm not going to lie. So when I was doing this, I was half interested as well. I was like, I like this one. Right, five is Met Gunak.
I want to say not goalie.
Come to Besiktas and Turkey goalkeeper.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
He was third choice that night.
Third choice that night?
Yeah.
Wow.
Plays for Besiktas.
Okay.
Meet Gunak.
There you go.
Yes, I got him on one. So he didn't get them all right.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's a big boy as well. Yeah, I remember him. He's another big lump.
Number six, Raul Silva.
Got to be goalie.
He's not a goalkeeper. He is Skyfall's Javier Bardem.
He's a hell of a villain as well, to be fair. Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, mate, I've thought with a name like that, that's got to be goalie.
Got to be a goalie, isn't it? What a goalie, man.
Yeah, what country
Raul
that be from?
Silva.
Yeah.
It's like, I could have played against him a friendly, innit? Right, number seven, Arsene Bulgarian.
Goalie. I can't even pronounce that. Yeah. He is a goalkeeper for Armenia.
Yeah. Is that one? Okay, yeah. I got.
How much does he look like Bruno Fernandes?
Yeah,
I was saying this to Owen before, right? I was like, how much does he look like Bruno Fernandes?
It does, yeah.
Even who's Bruno Fernandes?
I got an especially dirty look from him, so yeah.
Did you, yeah?
That one. Yeah, they love a dirty look, the foreign goalies, as they walk past. Yeah, they love it.
Don't mind it. Intimidation. Right, number 8, Dominic Green.
I'm going to go... Not goalie.
He is not a goalie. He's Quantum of Solace. He is Matthew Amorak.
There you go. Do you know what? Give it away a little bit, because you were saying like teams that we've played against.
Yeah.
And I was thinking we've not played against anyone that would have had like that sort of like, it's quite a British name, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Right. Number 9. Let me try and pronounce this. Nedeljko Labrović. Nedeljko Labrović.
Wow.
I'm going to say it's that.
Goalie.
He is a goalie. He is the Croatian goalkeeper.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. You recognise it? No?
Mate, beyond me, yeah.
Number
they were too busy celebrating anyway.
Number 10, Le Chiff.
Not goalie.
Yeah, he's not a goalie. Yeah. He's a Casino Royale.
Is that him? Mads Mikkelsen. Just one name. Oh, yeah. No, I love it.
I think
Pele.
It means like the villain or something.
Yeah.
I was like, I have to chuck that in at number 10. That's too easy.
Yeah, very good.
Mate,
yeah,
8 out of 10.
Yeah.
8 out of 10 is very good.
Take that. I'll take that. You did give me a lot of pointers and clues and tips and stuff. But yeah, the first two I really knew because Joranin was that the second one? Yeah, he gave me a big smile. So yeah.
And you've played against Bolka before. Here.
And Bolka, yeah, a big lump. I wouldn't forget that, mate.
Yeah, Christ. Decent that. Briefly just want to talk about the pressures, obviously, again, about matches opposed to training. Mm-hmm. So obviously you go to Wolves and we're saying, I know we spoke about it a little bit before, about how you prepare... You help prepare like the first team goalie. Mm-hmm. Do you still find that you gear up exactly the same? Like obviously, like pre-match and that. Are you thinking just in case I might be involved? Are you eating the same pre-match? Are you doing the same rituals?
Yeah, I prepare for every single game as if I'm going to play.
Yeah,
because I know that my chance will come eventually. I don't know what shape. Like I said earlier in the podcast, I don't know what shape, what size that opportunity will look like, but. I get the feeling it's going to be when I least expect it.
100%, yeah.
And I get the feeling that it's like, it's going to be the one time that I go, I'll have a late night and watch a film or
I'll do an extra gym session the day before.
Do an extra gym or I'll do something that I wouldn't normally do to prepare for a game. And like, I've had a lot of chats with like, we have obviously the nutritionist and the sports scientist. And I said, like, right, I'm going to prepare for every game as if I'm going to play because I know that I've never played at this level before. And I'm going to have to be on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to be fully on it. And I'm going to prepare. I'll do all the meetings as if I'm going to play. That's how I'm thinking in the meetings.
It's a great
mindset. If I have to feel like, if I have to face that, what am I going to face? I ask a lot of questions, which cuts likes as well. And I'm just a bit like, right, what finishes does he prefer? And I'm thinking about it during the training session. And it will go all the way up until like, obviously we have a bit of a group that goes off the non-starters and I'll go in that and I'll throw myself around, do a bit of extra shooting. But then straight after, I'm like straight in the ice bath, recovery shakes, leggings on, and all the boys are like, I can see them looking at me and they're like, oh, like, doesn't know he's not playing. and I'm like, yeah, I know, but I know that I have to be on my top level.
That's
otherwise,
amazing.
If I step onto the pitch, I'm going to be nowhere near the level if I've had like, one of the games this season, me and Bence and Max Kilman were actually out for a coffee in the morning and Cuts rang Bence and said, oh, like, Sars come down. He slept weird on his shoulder or his neck and he's not going to be able to play today. And like me and Bence were out for a coffee. And I was like, I knew it. Like this chance was going to come and ended up being on the bench at West Ham, which is the second time. And it was like, I'm one slip away from being on the pitch here. And thank God I did the normal stuff that I do. I like a walk in the morning, a coffee, like stretch the legs. Thank God I'd done that, not just stayed in bed because... I could have just like come down to pre-match. Yeah. If I'd have not gone with Bence and Max.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd have gone down and just been like, oh, what's happened? Oh, you're on the bench. Like, and then it'd have been panicky. Whereas, I was out for a walk, it felt a little bit more comforting and it was good. But yeah, no, that's how I like to do it.
Yeah.
And I know that I have to do the extras then after the game because of the pre-match and stuff like that, which I'm so easy about, mate. Like I'm a naturally hard worker anyway. Do you know what I mean? So all that stuff means nothing to me, but... Yeah, every single game, mate, is if I'm going to play.
See, obviously, like the Prem boys, you don't really get days off anymore. I know, like we've said before, that you've always just got to be on to the next game. Obviously, League One, League Two, National League, it's like Wednesdays and Sundays, and it's like a ritual.
Literally.
there'll be times where you don't know your own schedule a couple of days before things are happening.
I mean, we're still getting, we had three messages put in this morning about, because obviously we play Man City, Liverpool, and there's one more, the Arsenal. We play all three of them, and now all three games, times have been moved because obviously
constantly
they want to put them on TV. They want those games to be on TV, which all the Premier League fans want to see, which we understand. But like now we're like 7:30 on a Saturday, then 4 p.m. on a Sunday. And it's like, it's just, and I'm trying to book things and do that. And it's just like, I said to my missus, like, subject to change in the message and stuff like that, like, which he hates, but it's unbelievable, mate. But
TBC,
subject to change to the missus in a chat. But no, she just laughs now. I think she's got to the point where she's like, listen, you're going to get a chance. She feels like me. I think she is along the same chance as me. Yeah. She's like, listen, you've wanted this your whole career. Like,
class.
You're here now, you've achieved it. Let's really have a bash at trying to do something mental. And I'm just like, I'm glad she sees it like that, because there's been some times where, like, I think I've missed like 4 family parties at hers in a row, and just through change of schedule or something like that, which is can't completely out of our, and she understands that. She understands it's disheartening, but she gets it. Do you know what I mean?
What's the unit like at Wolves, the goalie unit?
Really good.
Yeah.
Good laugh. Yeah, obviously the introduction of Cuts at the start of the season is has changed it, and obviously he likes to work with 2 goalie coaches. So we've got Scott Bevan, who's out on the pitch a lot, who played a hell of a lot of games all over the EFL and stuff like that, which is a good experience. I remember watching him. He played the last portion of his career at Havant at Waterlooville, so I used to watch a lot of him when I was down at Portsmouth, which is like crazy. And then we also have a sports scientist now that's on the pitch every day.
Do you have your own video analysis as well?
Kind of. So we have a guy, so we have like 4 or 5, like obviously within the club, and one of them kind of like is subcontracted to us, who will do a lot of the stuff. But Bevs does a lot, because he takes the GoPro out and films a lot of the sessions all on his own, and then he goes and clips it all up and sends it to us, which is insane. Which is incredible, really, when you think about the level of effort that would take every night. Mate, incredible. But yeah, so we've got, there's normally us three, me, Sar, and Bent, and then we'll bring like a young one up with us. Or obviously we've got young Louis Molden, who's out on loan. He's been back
good in good goalie, by the way. I've watched a lot of him, you know.
Mate, took me by surprise a lot. I didn't really know what to expect, and that's no disrespect to Louis. Like, I thought, oh, this could be anything. Obviously, he'd done the number 3 role for a year, and I thought, oh, okay, that's a big level. Obviously, he'd done a lot of his career at Man City as well. But no, unbelievable guy. He's been back in with us this week as well, because obviously Northampton's safe, and they've got some different training schedules and stuff. So he's tried to get in a couple of days with us. We have a really good group, mate. We have probably, like, me and Bent are very similar in the way that we work. We're very high intensity.
Yep.
And then Sar is very much prepare for the game. And he has his own special way of preparing for the game, which
you mean he's very laid back.
it's his biggest strength. Yep. And I mean that in the best way. Like, obviously, we spoke a little bit off camera before that I personally couldn't prepare for a game like that. That wouldn't be the way that I would do it. But listen, it works for him. He's an unbelievable, like, in terms of, like, natural talent. Like, some of his natural things, mate, I'm like, the save at Everton sums it all up for me. Like, going the wrong way, manages to stick an arm out and get it over the bar, and it's incredible, mate. Really,
does he just turn
really
it on
incredible.
Then, do you reckon, when the whistle goes? Is he one of them that can just turn it on?
Yeah, he can.
Or is he still laid back in games, but he's just got that ability?
No, he can, mate. I've seen him warm up, and he drop a couple, and and it just doesn't faze him. And for me, that's the biggest thing that I've learnt off him, that none of that stuff matters, mate, because when that first whistle goes, you find a new level. Yep. He finds a new level all the time. He can turn it on. And if it comes to the Monday and he doesn't want to train, and he's very open and very honest, which I think is something that I've never heard in my career before. Like, if he's had a bad night's sleep or he's been away, he goes back to Portugal a lot, which is understandable. It's his homeland. Like, if when he comes back for international, he just says the Cuts, like, I'm very tired today. Like, and everyone's like, okay, like, do as much as you need. And like, for me, I've never heard of that in my career. Like,
it's not the English mentality.
It's not.
Really.
You just go as hard as you can every day until you don't, until the wheels fall off.
Yeah.
And like, he's super honest, and I've learned a lot about how to become a number one from him in terms of that. Like, you have to take pride and ownership of everything that you do every day.
That's good, that.
And if he wants to do that, and he can just go, like, turn the level on. It's a very hard skill to learn, but it's an unbelievable one to have over your career.
Yep.
For young kids listening, like, 100%, like, try and learn that as much as possible, that as long as you've got your head right and a lot of that stuff, which he does, it's really easy to find your level.
Yeah, nice. Right, before we talk about gloves, I just want to, again, touch on the Wales stuff.
Of course.
But you're regularly in every squad, it seems, at the moment, and you clearly must enjoy going away with Wales.
Yeah.
And obviously, the squad is ever changing. And the goalkeeper department is the only thing that seems regular.
Mate, from my first call up to this one, it's been me, Davo, Wayne and Wardy.
Yeah.
It's been it's like an incredible journey. Like some of the parts of the world that I've seen have been incredible. Obviously missed out on two major tournaments. I was on standby for two major tournaments, which...
It's incredible.
Like at the time, the first one was super easy, like to understand was super... I was at Newport at the time and for Paige to even ring me and say, listen, you're not going to come to this one. I was like, you didn't even have to ring me. Like, yeah. I get it. Like those three, great experience, great lads, great goalkeepers, no problem. Obviously the World Cup, I was a part of a lot of the squads and he rang me again and said, listen, you're going to be on standby. And just to even be like, I think you have to have a bit of a picture about where you've been in your career. And I've spent a lot of my league career in League Two and League One. The other three, I spent a lot of time in the Prem and the Championship. And I understood that. I understood my role. And now, obviously, I've arrived in the Premier League. I want to really, really kick on, really go into that second gear and really establish my place that, listen, if there is only three places up for grabs and there's four of us fit, I want to be that guy.
Yeah,
and I think the other three think the same.
Yeah.
Which is like
that's a great environment to work in. That you're all there to fight for the
incredible
country almost.
Mate, Wayne having I think it's 109 caps he's got now, which is like he's been going since he was 18. He's 20 years of international football, like to feed off his experience. And obviously Wardy has done so many years in the Premier League, working with top goalies and playing in the Premier League and learning off him as well. And Dave, I have a great relationship with in terms of like off the pitch, like we speak a lot and we confide in each other a lot when things are going well and aren't going well, etc. So we have an unbelievable group, all held together by Tony, who's an unbelievable character. I don't know if you come across him much in your career, but like unbelievable character, top coach, and he manages to get the best out of all four of us. Like every single time we go away,
skill.
Which is, and it's a different type of working. It's like can't flog you because you're going back to your clubs, and we need to prepare for games, and it's normally two games in 5 days or two games in 6 days, and. It's a very individualised way of working.
Yeah. To manage four total different goalkeepers that have all different abilities, that different age groups, that play at different levels, even like that, is a massive skill.
And there was a time, obviously, where we were all number ones at our club.
Yeah.
And going there, and when there's only one place to fight for four lads that are used to being number one, you have to manage it really well. And Tony done an unbelievable part. And obviously, the way that he stuck his neck out on the line for me in terms of this last step in my career. Like
nothing but love.
I know. I went away nothing last time love. And I was like, I looked him in the eyes. I said, I don't think you really realise how much you've actually done for me. And he's like, oh, no, you deserve it. I said, no, I did and I didn't. Do you know what I mean? There were so many lads that were in for that space.
Right.
And you stuck your neck out on the line for me and you went to battle for me. Like, and you've changed me and my family's life forever. And he's like, oh, thanks. And I was like, I think he gets it, but I think he didn't want to take too much credit. He knows that I'd worked hard, but like I said, it's all about luck and opportunity, and he'd given me that opportunity that nobody else would, and for that I'm forever grateful.
Yeah, class. Right, then let's talk about gloves then.
Let's go.
You've only ever really worn one brand, didn't you?
Oh mate, I wouldn't even dare think about wearing anything else. But yeah, these are the latest ones at the minute.
What are they called?
Which are the Cells Aqua Pistol. Yeah, I think we're going to go for Pistol. Yeah, he's got some new names, isn't he?
Yeah, he has, yeah.
But mate, honestly, like, obviously new fit, new strap.
This is his first time. Sells,
new strap,
sells have done a strapless glove.
Obviously turned up at Wolves and Jose, he had all his Adidas strapless ones, and I was like, oh, like, they look quite cool. And obviously over the years, obviously Adidas had started it and Nike had kind of half started it as well. And it's interesting that he's gone down this line. But now, mate, honestly, I think that These are one of the top ones at the minute, and I think it's not long before you start seeing them more regularly in the Premier League for sure. Like, and they are already, but obviously he's had a lot of unlucky with Sam, obviously, and Nick having long term injuries this season. But mate, honestly, I couldn't. It's like they're made for my hands, these ones. I don't know if you get that feeling sometimes with gloves where you put them on and you go like.
I was saying to you off air, I've hoarded a few pairs of the old ones that I loved. You know, like you always find one pair that you're like, they're the right ones for me.
Do you have like a thing about like sometimes if things aren't going your way, you would change
go back to your gloves? That's exactly what I mean. Yeah. So like I'll go through like the new gloves and that and try them out and that. And then if there was a big game that I was like, oh, we need to win this game. I need to play well. I'd go back to the old trusties. Yeah. Like, and that's why I always used to hoard a few pairs
It's all mental, mate, regardless of what. Obviously, I've had good conversations we've had this season. Like, you see me in pictures of wearing some old gloves and stuff. Yeah. Well, why are you wearing old gloves? And I said, like, It's all mental.
Feel for me. Different in them.
Yeah. I feel like if I can get an extra 2% out of myself that session,
yep.
I'm going to use the ones that 100%. I get an extra 2%.
And like we were saying about like the look the part, play the part, about like obviously the white boots sort of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've worn the new Preds with the tongues and that, but I can't wait to put on a pair of white ones.
Unbelievable, like, mate.
They're just class.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I had the white ones through.
I've seen you did, yeah.
Yeah, I had the white ones through a couple of weeks ago. Like, it, honestly, you put them on and it's completely new.
Yeah.
It's complete, like, obviously, I've had the black ones. I've had several pairs of the black ones. Just feel heavy, mate.
Yeah.
I just felt so heavy. And then, like, but I also get the thing with new gloves as well. So yeah. If I put new gloves on, extra 1%.
Yeah, you do.
I try a lot of different cuts. Like, obviously, this one is a bit like.
Very narrow, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very narrow, a bit of a roll finger, but like I'm kind of Joanne's worst nightmare at the minute. I'm like, oh, maybe a negative or yeah. maybe I've had a little bit more, obviously where a lot of my performance is training at the minute, I've had a bit more chance to
try
experiment with some new things. So I've had straps.
That's so important for any goalkeeper that listens is
of course, to
try gloves, just experiment.
Hey, try new boots,
try them in different conditions.
Try different kit outfits. Yeah. I've gone shorts, long sleeve, short sleeve. Try just... Because eventually it will all, you will find the right piece of everything and it will all come together like a jigsaw and yeah. you'll, right, okay, this is what I am, this is who I am, the white boots, I don't care what anyone says. Cuts is the same. He says to me, I don't care what anyone says, I'm going to wear white boots. I feel the best in white boots. No one can tell me any different. And I'm like,
I was having this discussion in training yesterday that it's so strange how in a game you'll wear just a t-shirt and an underarm, a pair of shorts and a pair of long socks, but no one would ever train in long socks as a goalie. But I always, in the summer or at the end of a season, go back to just training in shorts and a t-shirt because that's
brilliant, isn't it?
Like you just feel like a kid again. You feel Literally. Like young and like rejuvenated.
Free, yeah.
yeah, you do. You feel free.
We had one training session this season in the pre-season where we were meant to grab our own understuff from yeah. the hotel room, whatever, and he'd locked it all away. So like me and Sal, like obviously forgot, fast asleep, obviously. Like me and Sarah, short sleeves and shorts. I'm not joking. It was probably the best session I've ever had because
yeah.
I was just like, I felt like a kid. Yeah, all the yeah. grass was wet and there were puddles and I was muddy and yeah. scratches and I just felt proper free. But you couldn't do that over a season because you would have no skin left.
Yeah, you would. You'd literally have no kneecaps literally. Left. It would just be
literally.
Grazed away.
But... I see videos of Pickford obviously training now, even with the shorts on and yeah. that. And I'm thinking, you are insane.
Yeah.
My knees are being tattered.
I don't believe he does that many dives in training.
Yeah,
I think he
maybe.
Gets away with it. Right, before we finish, I always ask, well, let's actually, two questions.
Cool.
What's your release away from football?
Gaming.
Oh, yeah, a big gamer.
Yeah, I'm a big gamer, yeah. I've started on the sim racing.
Have you, yeah?
Yeah, sim. I'm a big, yeah, F1 car racing sort of, yeah, fanatic. So, yeah, I've started on the sim racing, which my missus hates me for, mate. Yeah, because I'm, like, in the mic. Tire change.
Oh, you're actually yeah, you're proper into it.
Proper into it, yeah. I've got the seat and the wheel.
You're
and,
a big cat to sit in the seat as well.
Oh, mate, yeah, you can tell, like, so I've had a bit of a chat with like staff at the football club and they said like, listen, be careful how long you're sitting in that position for because I'm literally like in an F1 position yeah. where I'm like vertical. Yeah. So they've said that like, listen, if you get
compressed
any stiffness, like, yeah, you got to be careful. So yeah, I do the odd bit of FIFA, but yeah, my thing's gaming. Yeah. That's like my proper release. Yeah, I feel like it reminds me of just being a kid. And obviously we spent a lot of time in lockdown and yeah. playing Warzone and stuff with my friends.
Oh, Warzone,
and
it, what a game.
Mate, incredible.
See, like my little boy's only 7 and he started playing Fortnite and I'm proper into it with him.
Have you?
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm 37. I need to grow
that's
up,
good, mate. I might have to get back out. Yeah. Yeah, that could be on the list. Oh, don't.
He keeps on playing this gun game. It's on like this SpongeBob level, and it like you kill someone, it changes your gun every time.
Oh, okay,
incredible. So like you could end up with like a bow and arrow. The next one could be a rocket launcher. Oh, it's class, mate. I'm a proper
brilliant, mate.
So brilliant. Terrible at 37. Right, finally, what does the goalkeepers' union mean to you? Yours is a very deep connection one with obviously with Selzy yeah. and Tony and
yeah, like all the people that have done the most for me in my life have been connected to football. Apart from my mum and my grandma, you know. So it's all been like
and the missus.
And God. And so like I wouldn't be anywhere without that sense of like together as one and obviously I've played against you many a time yeah. and before the game, after the game. You notice that with every game that you go to, like, always say hello to the goalies. Like, do you know him?
Yeah.
No, don't know him, but we both know how hard it is to do what we do.
But you know everything about their game and that, their strengths, their weaknesses. Everything. It's weird, you just know.
Everything. I have a proper, like, which Selzy has installed in me about being a student of the game. I watch things, I try and implement things. Like, I watch all the training videos that come up. If you go on my YouTube, the most searched thing is inside training, goalkeeper training, saves. I'm just studying and studying. If there's anything that I can find an extra bit of my game or something that I've not thought about, like side volleys or set positions, or it's incredible. I just love the game of just being in and around goalies, finding out things, hearing stories. How does he do this? Oh, he trains like this. He does this. How does he perform? When does he do? Like, okay, what? And it's just the, like, I said it before, like, and I've just soaked it all up. The last 5 months for me, mate, have been the biggest learning point of my career by a country mile. I've learned more in the last 5 months than I have in 13 years.
Proper student of goalkeeping.
And Cuts has really fed into that with me. Tony feeds into it with me when I go away to Wales. I just love, come on and show me this. All right, have you got any clips of him? All right, let's talk about this. Why doesn't this work? And we have conversations, and me and Cuts have it out during training. And I love it. And I say, why are you telling me to do that? Oh, because I think I can get this out. Yeah, okay, I'll try it. And if it doesn't work, I'll go back to my way. No problem. Handshake, let's go again.
Class.
And it's brilliant, mate. And I love it. I love trying to find that extra 1% because I know that I've not had like that part of my career so far. So I really want to emphasize, like, because this might only be 1 year. Yeah. I know the way football works.
Yep.
This might only be 2 years. I know the way football works. So I want to get every last drop out of these 2 years. If it is 2 years, if it is 1 year, I want to get every last drop.
That's
because
class.
I know that if I do have to go on to something else after this, I want to be able to take that. Oh, what did you learn when you were with Jose? What did you learn with Benz? What did you learn with Cuts? All top professionals. What did you learn? And I want to be able to say this and like, okay, maybe we can do this. And it will help me in my coaching career as well.
Yeah, 100%. Well, even like your next 10 years of playing, mate, you've got so much to give.
Oh, mate. And just that experience, like I think people take you properly seriously when you've been involved in the Premier League.
Taken properly seriously, Tom.
I think it's different. I think it's different. I think it's like...
No, I 100% agree. And that's one of the things that people go, oh, you've had an unbelievable career, like you've made it. And I didn't make it, never played in the Prem. And yeah. I still hold myself like...
Really?
And I'm like, yeah, like over 400 games. I think I've been on the bench 350 times.
Yeah.
And I still go, I never played in the Prem though.
Yeah.
And like, I still go, that's the one thing that... So really? Like for you to have that opportunity, mate, like, and to hear how much you're making of it and you're ready for it, it's really good to hear from someone that's towards the end of their career.
Yeah, no, and it was a bit of a realisation. Like I was even talking to Dan the other day about it, and he said that like he's now got a clean sheet in every league.
That's class.
And he was like, that was like the real moment where I was like, that's really good.
Yeah.
And I was like, mate, that's insane.
Yeah.
I was like, mate, that's an insane feat. Like 500 games, the last 15 have been in the Premier League, and now you have a clean sheet in every league.
That's
like,
brilliant, that.
Brilliant. Yeah. Just to know that was his, where he drew the line.
Yeah. Mine's my clean sheet record.
Really?
It's 1-3. I'm 135 clean sheets in 400 starts.
That's unbelievable, mate.
So you like that? You always hold something, and you're like, no, that's what sets me apart. Like,
yeah,
I might not be the most glamorous goalkeeper in the world, but 1-3, I'll get you a clean sheet.
Literally, bring me in, and I can get you 1-3.
Yeah.
If that's what you believe is going to be the right target, then I can do that.
Yeah.
I've shown that I can do that.
Through longevity.
Brilliant.
No, it's brilliant that you're making the most of every opportunity, mate. It's class to hear.
Thank you so much.
It's also. It's not only refreshing, but it's inspirational for even myself and all goalkeepers that listen.
I think so.
You're really pushing yourself.
I'm only behaving as every lad who'd been given the opportunity that I've been given would behave.
Yep. Should behave.
Should behave. You get the odd anomaly who let it affect them in a negative way, which I understand. I can understand how it would do that. There's a lot more money involved. There's a lot more pressure involved. There's a lot more status involved. And I get that. But I've kind of tried to separate myself from that.
Yep.
And just say, like, my dream will consist of playing in the Premier League. And I don't know if that will happen, but if at the end of these three and a half years, I can look back and say, I gave everything and it didn't happen, I'll be all right with that.
Yeah, no, of course.
But I was given the chance. Yeah. I was given the chance to be able to get that close to it that it felt real.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was enough. But, like, my line will be the Premier League game. That will mean more to me than I'd say the majority of a lot of the ones I've done so far, because it's like that realisation in it, like you say.
Yeah. Now, honestly, Tom, I've absolutely loved speaking to you, and thank you very much for coming on. Class episode this, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Right, this has been the Yours Mine Away podcast. Please make sure you are following, follow and subscribe. This is the Yours Mine Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. Thanks a lot, guys. Tom King.
What a save from Mark Howard.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. and it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.